Why in God's name are we sponsoring with taxpayer dollars grown men getting together and playing their trumpets, for lack of better, whatever the hell you want, whatever it is you want to call, whatever you want to call that.
And he's running around because he thinks he's got a bank account with a lot of zeros in it, that it makes him some kind of super citizen. I don't think so. This is America.
All right, Zach, let's get to our top Doge stories of the week. So I think the big Doge story of the week is definitely this email being sent out to all these federal workers asking them to do something very simple. Tell me five things you accomplished last week. Please reply to this email, some version of this going out via HR departments to federal employees. Please reply to this email with approximately five, not even five, approximately, okay? Let's try to hit five if you can. Five bullets of what you accomplished last week and CC your manager. Please do not send any classified information, links, or attachments. Deadline is this Monday at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. So I think for most people who are in a job, that would probably be a pretty easy task, right?
So here's where we're at in this country, apparently. The equivalent of like an annual review.
Yeah.
Right? And not even a touch. Every single employee that we have here, I do like a full 30 minute, at least 30 to 45 minute annual review with every single employee. Okay. The din and outcry over this, you would have sworn these people were commanded to forfeit their firstborn.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, the horror. He's making a, and then I'm reading through it and going, what did he ask him to do? What did he ask him to do? I do the equivalent to this with our employees once a week. Like, what you got to, I mean, the horror, the outcry over five things that you accomplished this week. So if you don't think that we need to cut substantial amounts of people from the government working, there's your proof, right? Like, meaning if we've got a bunch of people that think it is a personal offense or a violation of their civil liberties because they've got to be accountable for the five things they did this week, I literally would sit there if I was them and I'd try to figure out, like, through social media, which people were freaking out, and they'd be the first ones.
Yeah. And approximately five. Let's be clear, Zach. Approximately five, give or take.
Look, this should tick everybody off, right? Because it's not just those people. Think about what the environment they've been working in is like for them to have that response, yeah. Right? You're talking about an environment where there's zero accountability. There is zero oversight. There is zero holding their feet to the fire about any individual tasks that they're going to be responsible for. They're clearly not held responsible for the outcome of their work, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's just nuts. And you know, some of them are crying about bonuses. Bonuses? You get a pension and you work for the government. That's the deal, right? The trade-off always historically was, look, if you want to go out in the private market, you're going to take more risk, but that's where you make the money. You want to work for the government, you're not going to make as much, but you're going to get a pension and you're going to have awesome job security. That's the deal. Now everybody's like, well, I want to have all the job security. You can't fire me. I mean, that's a violation of my civil liberties, but I want to get paid like I do in the private sector. Well, you know what, bud? That's kind of a problem because you don't generate any profit.
Yeah.
So as a matter of fact, you're a cost center, my friend. So why do you bonus cost centers? You don't. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and I want to do all of that, and I don't want to have to tell you what I did last week. I want all of those things, but I absolutely do not want to have to take 30 seconds out of my day, the one time this question has ever been asked of me, and tell you what it is exactly I do for the federal government.
I got this email Saturday afternoon about 3 p.m., and I felt absolutely infuriated getting this email with a demand within 48 hours to provide a response on what I did within the last week or face termination.
And it's an insight too about the system's disdain for the taxpayer. It really is. People are going to go, boy, that seems like a big logical leap. No, it's not. Right? Listen to these complaints. Listen to what the politicians are saying about it. And listen how many times any one of them references taxpayer money. Right? And their fiduciary responsibility. It never comes up. It's like it doesn't exist. Right? And it's, well, we need to do this. We need, and you look at them and go, hey guys, in big people world, in reality, what we're able to do constrains what we'd like to do. right? And it's like, you know, oh, we can't cut any of these jobs. Oh, it's going to be like, well, yeah, look, you know, usually when you make actions as an adult, they have benefits and they have costs. Didn't say it's fun to take people's jobs. But again, as an employee or a manager in the federal government, you chose the job. You took an oath to protect taxpayer dollars. And it's high time somebody held their feet to the fire and made them accountable, man. I can't happen soon enough as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and I think you make a good point about it's disrespectful for the taxpayer. You know, this is our money that you get paid with. And you're telling me you can't be bothered. And it's such an affront to you to tell, you know, Doge, what you five things you did last week. I mean, it's sort of like a knock knock or is anyone home? Although I will say, Zach, because I think you and I suffer from the same disorder. The I don't check my email disorder. I'm going to put you on blast because I'm the same. I would not function like without Nicole telling me if I missed something. And I already know. I don't know if you read your emails or not. But if this were me, I wouldn't respond because I wouldn't have seen the email.
I probably wouldn't have seen it. But look, there's a reason why you and I are not concerned about those emails. You know why it is?
Because we're our own bosses. Started,
yeah, and we take all the risk, right? So I'm not worried about anybody other than a client. Now, do I scan my emails to make sure I don't see any client? Yeah, because I work for them. And you're right. Like if they've got a question, I better be on top of it and better be addressing it. But as far as the rest of it goes, and that's what I'm saying. Like, it, you know, if you want that kind of freedom and autonomy, you can have it. I've got it. You've got it. But you want to talk about constraints? You want to talk about no guaranteed vacations or time off or guaranteed pay? Or, you know, I was telling a couple younger cousins of mine, they were over there. They're like, you know, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And I look at them, I go, guys, I have to live my life all the time to where I can live off 20 to 25% of my income. And they're like, well, why? Your income's there. And I go, because I'm self-employed. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, ironically with me, what's the greatest fear I have for my income? It's the government, right? The SEC coming after me for something stupid or whatever the case may be. But, you know, so I've got like literally the inverse problem. But I mean, you know, if you were to sum up one of the things I think is plaguing the younger generations of our country, it's that attitude right there. I want all the benefits of running my own business, but I want to work for the government and I want zero employment risk and I want bonuses and a pension. And like, okay, yeah, you know, I'd like $1 billion. I mean, where does it end?
But we've let them. The federal government has allowed them. I mean, look how many of them weren't even coming into the office. And it just sort of stayed that way when there was really no good reason for them to be at home. And so now they've gotten used to this coddling culture in the workforce. God forbid they ever had to survive in the private sector. Like, can you imagine some of these fired federal workers and the rude awakening they're going to face in the private sector?
Oh, we've talked about it here internally before where I'm like, can you imagine if one of those people came to work for us? They wouldn't last for a week.
Yeah.
I mean, literally just, you know, because you got to do what you got to do. And when things come in and, you know, there's been weekends where we worked, you know, just because there was news coming out and we, you know, this Sunday, we had my head of research and my head analyst, we were on a conference call for an hour and a half talking about the news that came out about Trump, the presser that Trump put out about China over the weekend, right? Like, if you want to have that autonomy and freedom, with it comes a lot of responsibility, and that's the trade-off. And it's just, you and I have joked about this before, but the thing that goes through my head all the time is, how did you get to your age without learning these things?
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, how it's almost impressive, right? Like, how did you walk? What kind of helmet have you been wearing all your life to avoid learning these things? You know what I mean? Like some kind of earblock, like some self-contained unit or something. Just because you'd think that this knowledge would just be accumulated. You know, it's not like you and I had to go sit in a library for 3 months to learn this stuff. It's just life.
Yeah. Well, even if when I was like working for the man, you know, if I got an email like this, I'd be annoyed because I worked my ass off, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so I'd feel a lot of feelings, but fear that I couldn't give them five things would not have been one of them. Like, I would have been able to easily give them five things. In fact, Elon Musk even gave Donald Trump five things.
Weird.
So he messaged Donald Trump, and it's so funny because Donald Trump turned around and posted it on Truth Social. So here is five things Elon Musk did that he sent his boss, Donald Trump. He streamlined a filing process, cutting retrieval time by 20%, briefed a senior official on a classified project, earned a nod of approval, debugged an internal database glitch that was slowing queries, drafted a memo that sparked a new interdepartmental initiative, the one we're talking about, and conducted a discreet security audit flagging three overlooked risks. So that was easy. So even Elon Musk sent it to Donald Trump. And here's what Donald Trump had to say about this Elon Musk email initiative.
So I think it was actually, there was a lot of genius in sending it. We're trying to find out if people are working. And so we're sending a letter to people. Please tell us what you did last week. If people don't respond, it's very possible that there is no such person or they're not working.
Seems pretty straightforward to me, unless they're like us and they don't check their email. But it's been in the news, so you think you'd go and be like, hey, I should check and see if I got one of those Elon Musk emails.
Well, and there's a mechanistic part of this that people really need to understand, which is that you got to, and I know you know this, I'm preaching to the choir, and your listeners are really smart. They probably know this too. But government power is all about headcount, right? And so, like, you'll listen to these guys. And again, this isn't a secret. Most of you probably know this, but you get to the end of the year, and whatever budget you've been allocated, if there's 20% of that back, or you have 20% of that remaining, you fire sale it, right? And you do that because whatever you don't spend is going to be reduced from your budget next year, right? It's considered low hanging fruit. Additionally, the way you move up in the ranks of government is how many people you have reporting to you. So there's no, right, you have no budget constraints. So what is your incentive? Your incentive is to stack up as big a headcount underneath you as you possibly can. Does that mean it will result in people that don't work there anymore? Potentially, right? Like, again, we'll look at how large, how could it be somebody that's ridiculous. This is the same group of people that doesn't know where $1 trillion went.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so if you don't think a dude making 70 grand a year might slip through the cracks and not be coming into the office and may not be working, again, I don't know. Not saying it's happening for sure, but again, let me repeat that. You're talking about the same people that are incredulous when you ask them about $1 trillion they can't account for. Okay, so sorry if I think it's possible you might still have some people on the employment rolls that aren't doing anything. Or maybe they're not even alive.
Yeah.
Who knows? Right? How many people, was there 1 million people over the age of 110 that are receiving Social Security?
Oh, yeah,
like
the vampires, like 300-year-olds just collecting Social Security. I just look at this as a diagnostic for your vehicle. Like, you take it in for your, 60,000-mile or 70,000-mile checkup, and we haven't done it in so long.
Right.
And there's so many clear, obvious issues. It's like you've been driving a car and you haven't had a checkup, and every single light on your dash is blinking. It's like, and so I think you and I share this sentiment that, what's the worst that could happen? What's the worst that could happen is Elon Musk gets sent packing and he doesn't find anything substantial, but they're saving money. And so, and there's going to be, you know, some things that work, some things that don't work, but this is such a small thing. To see the meltdown over it is so telling. So, speaking of, let's get to our Doge miss of the week. I don't know if this is a miss or not. It's a criticism from an economist, and I want you, because you're my financial guy, you're the guru, to tell me if this is true. So this is from Forbes, and there is an economist claiming that Doge layoffs are going to hit the economy and the markets. That right now, you won't be able to tell it right now, but like unemployment claims in DC are starting to spike, which I kind of love to see the graph on that. But that laying off all of these federal employees will ultimately trickle down to the markets and to the economy.
Yeah, it's complete nonsense.
How? Why?
That guy's, he's a show for the DNC. Because when you look at, now, is it possible that a recession or economic slowdown coincides with that? Of course. Is that going to be? No, the economy is way too big and way too diverse. Like for instance, how many people are they talking about cutting maximum?
A million.
You know, like, okay, well, that's what they're never going to get to that number.
Yeah.
Okay, they, not at all. But I mean, you know, you think of it, you hear a company laying off 10,000 here or there, whatever the case may be. The whole idea that many, first of all, they're never going to cut that many jobs. I think that's probably the universe that they're looking at. Let's say they trim 200,000 jobs. Would that impact GDP? Well, there's just a lot of other questions you got to ask yourself, right? Like, A, how many of those people would take early retirement, which means that they're income probably wouldn't be too impacted. Probably a good chunk.
Yeah.
How many of those people will go get other jobs? Probably a good chunk, right? So to say that in a vacuum is just a ridiculous statement. And it's just overtly political. Like I said, could it, the idea that the largest economy in the world is going to get thrown off its rails because 250,000 government workers have to go find another job? It's ridiculous. It's laughable on the face of it. Is it going to be a stimulus to the economy? No, but other things in the economy will have so much more to do with it. But I will say this, Brandy, we are seeing signs of slowing in other parts of the economy. It's long overdue. It doesn't, you know, the minute it shows up in the news, we know what the media is going to say and what people on the left are going to say. And you effectively haven't had a recession in this country since 2009.
Yeah.
Right. People are like, oh, during COVID. And I'm like, look, man, the stock market was up 16% and household wealth made a record. That's not a recession. Right. So you're overdue. And sometimes recessions happen, not because anything bad happened, but it's we were talking about this on an interview earlier today where we were saying, look, if a basketball team goes on a 22-0 run, right, and then the other team scores 4 points in a hurry, you don't sit there and be like, oh my God, the sky's falling, right? No, they've just scored them 22-4 in the last 5 minutes. But that's kind of the way the economy works. Like if the economy goes on a ripper for 15 years, when it takes a breather, technically speaking, it could look like a recession, right? GDP contracts 2 quarters in a row. But is it a recession? Do you have, you know, sinking, you know, do you have deflation? Do you have, you know, do we see the angst that comes with it? I don't think you're going to see that. And I don't think you're going to see that because we're still running $2 trillion deficits. So, I mean, would cutting all those people lower the deficits to some degree? Would it be a discernible amount? No. So anyway, it's just, and that's the other thing that gets me so fired up is every single headline you look at has to be interpreted and vetted through a political lens because it's, and when I give you this information, I am not looking at it through a political lens. I'm just looking at the landscape and saying that's ridiculous on the face of it. What drives me nuts is that so few people are doing that.
Yeah.
And everything is through, oh, it's going to be horrible. Here it comes. You know, we're going to freak out over everything. And it's just not the case.
Well, they'd be celebrating it if Biden had said, hey, we need to cut some of the fat, right? And so.
Oh, yeah.
And on the numbers, it says, so 75,000 federal workers took the voluntary buyouts. Layoffs could affect up to 220,000 probationary workers, maybe up to 300,000, and then like max cutting, they're predicting like 1 million. But I agree with you. I don't think that will happen. Is it different, though, if you look at the economic impact of like canceled government contracts? Like if the government isn't going to spend $10 billion here and $10 billion there and contracts are eliminated, is that more substantial than job loss or kind of the same category? Like that's not going to make a ripple.
It all depends on, like, look, none of the... So none of these things are good for GDP, gross domestic product, right? But the flip side is we've looked through that lens for so long that I think we've lost perspective, meaning not everything that's good for GDP is good for us in the long run, right? The government running $7 trillion deficits per year would be great for GDP. Would it be good in the long? No, inflation would be out of control, right? And so this is the other part of it where you go, hey guys, nobody ever said, hey, we got 2 weeks off. Let's get on a budget.
Yeah.
Let's really party, right? Let's have a good. Nobody gets on a budget because it's fun, right? You get on a budget because you need to. So all these people going, oh, this, look, some of these bad things are going to happen. That you got to cut spending. Nobody said it's going to be fun, but it's called being an adult. Okay. You got to do things you don't want to do that don't always make the most people happy, but it's what's responsible. And what's the alternative? Well, we don't want to. Yes, it's not nice to fire people. So we're just going to bankrupt the entire country.
Yeah, ruin our children's future. And I think that's a really excellent point, which is I personally kind of don't care about the short term implications of this.
No,
I don't. Do I want somebody to lose their job? No. I mean, there's faces behind that, families behind that, all of those things. And they were allowed to operate in this area where maybe they shouldn't have been employed in the first place. So I'm not dancing on anyone's unemployment. Right.
Right.
But
right.
I don't care about the short term hurt because I can see the potential long term benefit for our country and future generations. And if we have to, such a good point make, if you have to take some of that pain now, like let's do it so we can improve things for years and generations to come. We should be able to do it for our kids.
But because of politics, no, we can't do that. Okay.
Well, and do we have an example of anything that is beneficial in the long term that doesn't require short term pain?
Yep. There you go.
I mean, everybody wants to have a six pack and be in shape. Guess what it requires? Passing on some meals and working out.
That's why I don't have a six pack.
Well, I don't either. But, you know, a guy can dream, right? So.
But you know what it takes to get there, right? So, all right.
Yeah, pain.
In other cost-saving news, I am loving this. So one of the best things that have come out of this, I think, and we talked about it before, the new mindset of like, hey, yeah, we should look at this. We should look at spending. And so in some of these states with out of control spending, like California, there's a Doge California. And so our friend Ari Hoffman, some other just citizen volunteers have started Doge Washington. And they are now taking a page out of Elon Musk's playbook, combing through the books. Some of it is predictable. Like, for instance, they found all of this money, millions and millions and millions of dollars, that has some sort of tie to a current elected official. Like, that elected official is sitting on the board, or that elected official used to be their president and CEO, or they even have some part ownership in an entity that's getting, you know, millions in state funding. I'm not surprised by that. I think it should be illegal. Obviously, it's not. So that's one thing. But here, riddle me this. Washington Education Association, teachers union, most powerful union in the state, biggest backer, union backer of Democratic political campaigns, got $8.6 million in taxpayer funds in the last budget.
Shocker.
But, like, why do they have dues? What could taxpayers possibly have to foot the bill for the WEA to the tune of $8.6 million? None of that's going to kids. We fund kids and teachers. They're taxpayer money. Why are we funding the union?
Well, look, this is, and I really honestly don't think that it's, if you're talking about the scope of the problem that we have in this state and in this country writ large, I don't think hyperbole is possible, meaning it's not only that this stuff happens. I don't think people understand. This is a business model, right? Like they don't see, this stuff didn't happen on accident. These people took these jobs in these positions to do exactly this.
Yep.
And if you don't believe it, it's because you haven't heard them before. You haven't been behind some of the doors. And I haven't been behind a lot of them, but I've got enough contacts and people in business that are like, oh yeah, so-and-so got that contract. Guess how? You know what I mean? You and you know it through, meaning they are bilking you and they are doing it on purpose. And what allows them to do it, again, across the country and in this state in particular, what allows them to do it is the belief that no one's looking. And in this state, that is the truth.
That has been the truth. Yes.
Yes. And then look at what happens nationwide. You start uncovering all the waste and half the country's mad that you uncovered it. And you look at them and it's just, it's so maddening because you go, guys, if you can quit playing politics for 1 second, this is not a political issue. We know that people on both sides of the aisle are doing this. If it's happening anywhere, it hurts all of us. And it's just, it is so maddening. And you, like I said, you don't have to see the particulars. You just, you study statistics and mathematical percentages and all this kind of stuff, and you line all this stuff up. Good example of this is, when we were going through the COVID thing in January, February of that year, we were doing our research and we realized in our research about mid-February before it even came up. I don't know if you and I have talked about this before, but we realized that Wuhan lab was a mile and a half away from the first thing was, you know, the first case was discovered. And this is 1 month into the pandemic. And we went, oh, there's the origin place, yeah. Right? Like that's makes sense. It's before anybody was talking about it. And then people started talking about it. You're like, oh, okay, they're starting to catch on. And then it was like, you're racist. And we turn around, we're going, whoa, 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 what are you talking about? You know what I mean? Why would that mean that you're racist? You know, you have one, yeah.
And then you were a conspiracy theorist.
Yes. And you're just sitting there going, no, guys, some of this stuff is just statistics, right? You realize that when you see something like this, the chances of it, you know, Occam's razor, the chances that it is the way it looks is pretty good, right? Like, so what's happening in this country? They're bilking you and they're taking full advantage of it. And they're doing it like it's a business model. And, you know, go look at all these people in the Senate and all these people in the Congress who live off $180,000 to $200,000 a year and have $80 plus million net worth. Well, I mean, you paid for it.
We never let it in the, you know, it is, because sunlight's the best disinfectant. And I think that's one of the things Doge is doing. And to people who are willing to pay attention and be critical, they can look at that and say, wow, that's not right. In our state, we would never allow $8.6 million to go to an outside political arm that turns around and funds Republican candidates. That would never be allowed, right?
No.
But there's also all
Nor should it be.
Nor should it be. And I would have a problem with that as well. There's also all this ideological stuff. Let's see. And, you know, you might look at these and say, well, that's not very much. $5,000 here, $2,000 here. I don't care. It's a totally inappropriate use of taxpayer funds. Again, Doge Washington. Money for Drag Story Hour, Queer Productions, Queer Life, Seattle Gay News, Northwest Network Bisexual Trans Abuse Victims, Seattle Trans and Non-Binary Choir, etc. You were saying, and I don't know if you'll share this story publicly, that there's a like LGBTQ group that you've been wondering if they yes. have to have... Someone has to be funding them because, like you said, no one's ever in the building.
Yeah, there's an office down the hall from us that's clearly one of the, you know, the rainbow on the wall.
Oh, gosh,
I'm forgetting. Queer is the name of the company.
Yeah,
and I don't want to call them out particularly, but you know, but anyway, they've got a good amount of office space, fully decorated. Everything's in there. You know, gay, queer, everything all over the walls. Like it's, you know, it's pretty. Out there, but there's nobody there ever. There's nobody ever there. And one of the things we'd said is we're like, these guys have got to be like funded by a government agency or something. I don't understand what they do. I don't ever see them doing anything. I don't know what they sell. I don't know what they do. It's just one of those things we were looking at and going, why are you like, what do you do?
Yeah.
You're here. Like they put out other like gay magazines, but it's not the ones they produce. And so we were just sitting around going, what do these guys do? How are they getting funded? Well, funny enough, we were going down some of those lists and we saw their company name in one of the lists that received money. And we're like, and it was just kind of one of those things we laughed out loud. You're like, we knew it. Yeah, we knew it had to be there. And you know, you see this stuff up close. I just don't think people realize the scope of the grift that is going on and how they're just giving. I mean, they're just throwing your money around and they don't care.
Right. And you don't, I'm not saying these groups shouldn't exist. Like, hey, you want a Seattle trans and non-binary choir? Great. But you can pay for that with donations, with private sector donations. Like they gave $7 million to this bicycle club that turned around and opposed the repeal of the Climate Commitment Act because the money given to the bicycle club was coming from the Climate Commitment Act. And it's like, there's enough bicycle lovers in this state where if that club should exist, it could be funded with private dollars and you do your thing. I'm praying that you haven't heard about this one line item I want to end the show with because I just want to see your genuine reaction. Did you know that some of your taxpayer money in Washington is going to help host male jack-off sessions? Did you know that, Zach?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you saw. Darn. Okay.
No, that club in Seattle, though.
Yeah. Right? Here. No, wait. Let me play for you. Nicole, you have this? Mm-hmm. Let me play just so you understand, you know, what this club's all about. I don't want you to be too judgy. Here's the founder of the Rain City Jacks.
I love a lot of play around men. That's kind of my jam. So I'd say my main squeeze is masturbation and mutual masturbation, being in the same room with and group masturbation. That's just something I just focused on as a fantasy when I was in my 20s about masturbating with lots of guys when I found out jack clubs existed. And it wasn't until I actually got to a jack club and then started my own jack club that I found out that, oh my God, this is something that really satisfies me deeply.
the entity that hosts satisfies those parties.
It satisfies him deeply.
Which, Zach, I'm fine with. If you have some sort of sexual fetish, it's not my business unless the organization that hosts your parties where you're having those fetishes gets $2,000 in taxpayer funds, as Doge Washington reported.
Look, and here's my, what does that say? Right. What can somebody please tell me what purpose that serves? Why in God's name are we sponsoring with taxpayer dollars grown men getting together and playing their trumpets for lack of it, whatever the hell you want, whatever it is you want to call whatever you want to call that. And I taught my sons from a very early age, you don't rub another man's rhubarb. But apparently those rules have changed. I'm beside myself.
What? I've never heard anything like that. Oh my God.
Line from Batman. It's the original Batman. It's the, you know.
That's a line from Batman? You never rub another man's rhubarb?
Yeah, that's the Joker said it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yep.
You know the other funny, okay, so here, little bit of a side note here.
I don't know if I want to hear it.
No. Okay. So we're trying to raise money. I coach a fourth grade football team, and I was on the board. It's too much work, so I had to give up the board position. But I was on the board for Peninsula Youth Football out here in Gig Harbor. And you see stuff like this getting funded. We don't have enough fields for kids to play on.
Yeah.
Any sports, right? Like we're having to share fields. Kids as young as fourth grade are practicing till 9:30 at night because we got to share fields. And yet you're funding jack clubs. If you want to know what's wrong with our society, I feel like that's a really good microcosm right there, right?
Amen.
You need money for a jack club, but if you want a place where kids can play on a field, no, we're strapped.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's why Doge exists. And that's why Doge Watch exists, so we can tell you about those things. And Zach can share a line from Batman that I've never heard that is now seared into my brain. All right, that's where we're ending it today, Zach. Still bullish on Doge?
Yeah, heck yeah, man. Keep shining that light. I want to see more of it, yeah.
Okay, good. All right. I'll see you next week. Thanks.